running around the hallway like we're just like having a fun time here today. Good morning. Or good, welcome back.
Good
11:30. Welcome back. This is Digital Village, KPFK's weekly show about computers and the internet.
My name is Rick Allen.
My name is Doran Behrens, and this is KPFK Los Angeles, 90.7 FM.
98.7 FM in Santa Barbara.
All right. Got all that out of the way. Now, let's talk Linux. We're joined in studio today by two very patient guests, I must say. By I mispronounced Garris's name. Garris Greenaway and Orv Beach, who are both, among other things, working with the Southern California Linux Expo. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Very pleased to have you with us. And why don't we start just with some of the basics about the Expo? I know we want to talk about some of the broader open source things that are developments that have been going on. But the Expo is happening when the 12th is when it starts?
12th and 13th, that's
and,
right.
And where is it going to be this year?
It's at the LA Convention Center.
And that's a move, huh? They're moving up in the world, this Expo, huh?
We were at the LA Convention Center last year, but the previous year we were at the USC Davidson Convention Center.
Yeah, I missed it last year. I was at the Davidson Center, and at the time I think there was a couple of dozen exhibitors there and a nice turnout of the crowd. How's it working out now? This year, how many people are you going to have expected to show up, and how many exhibitors do you think they'll have there?
We have, right now, about 40 exhibitors, and we're hoping for close to 1,000 people.
Cool.
Yes, a lot of people are, you know, they've heard Linux and they've heard open source, and I just wondered if you'd give a little background for those who are just not quite sure why Linux is different from Microsoft or Apple.
Okay, how much time do you have? What really makes Linux different is the open source concept, and it means all the software is based on the general public license. And I won't go into details, but basically it encourages the sharing of the source code, which is the base fundamental code underneath all software. Part of the license also encourages or requires people who make changes to the code to give it back to the community. And what this causes to happen is a continuous improvement of the software. Ongoing, it never stops. It started out as a kind of a small hobby project in 1991, I believe. Linus Torvalds originally released it when he was a student in Finland, I think. But thanks to the internet, it's grown and nurtured and expanded and exploded, literally. And that's not just the operating system, it's all the applications that run on top of it.
Before we have Richard Stallman give us a call and start yelling at us about various definitions. We'll just kind of say that there are variations on this notion of open source and free software, and we're kind of talking about this right at the moment generically.
That's correct.
That there are some specific licenses, and some of them, some of the software that's licensed under some of these licenses is more free, if you will, than others. As a whole, what we're talking about is software which is generally available to be modified, certainly able to have programmers and others look at the source code and identify areas for improvement or whatever, for whatever reason you want.
There are some other implications, too. Because the software is open for inspection, bugs and security holes tend to be found rather rapidly, and those improvements are incorporated into this continuous stream of improvements.
And that's a huge point to make, because Microsoft, who is not open source, is very proprietary about most of their software, loves to say that the open nature of the software, of open source software, is actually a liability when it comes to security, because anyone can come in there and mess it up, they're saying.
But right. Their model is what they call security through obscurity. And historically, I think it's been pretty well proven that that's not very effective. That's not to say open source software is automatically more secure, but it tends to improve and become secure very rapidly.
That's really an important point. And we've also found, since we're on this, that while it started as a programming paradigm, if you will, this notion of open and free, is actually carried out in the community through other things. I'm thinking of a Wikipedia, which is kind of an open encyclopedia that we've talked about here on the air a few times. We have now some increasing number of books that are being released on with various open or sympathetic, if you will, licenses, such as the common
Creative Commons.
Creative Commons licenses, which are available.
Yeah, we've had Larry Lessig on the show a number of times, who is a huge proponent.
Right, so this notion of openness and availability to all to inspect and modify and contribute is not just something that's limited to software.
Somebody once made the comment that the open source development model is the scientific method where you build upon the work of others, of previous programmers, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Kind of like the fashion show, that we talked about earlier.
Yeah, same notion. Now, when I was getting ready for the show today, I realized that we haven't really focused on Linux for a while. We had the guys from JPL here a couple months ago, and they wrote their The Opportunity in Spirit Landers is written largely for OS, for the Linux OS. But we haven't talked generally about Linux and open source products. And what I realized this morning was there's been a lot of development. I mean, it's incremental, so I don't always notice it in my day-to-day. But when I was looking back, we have all these new distributions that are becoming available. We have the Red Hat is now changing their business model so that they're more geared towards businesses. And they've started the Fedora project, I guess, for more of the hobbyists. We have Novell and buying out SUSE and
that's right.
The GNOME desktop. I'm trying to think with Miguel hiring him from the open source market. So we're starting to see a lot of adoption in a major way.
That's right.
Both in the home and various things that are available to the home user as well as in the business.
This is all a continuous improvement model. 5 years ago, everyone said, well, Linux is okay for the desktop, but it's not good enough for servers. You roll forward a year, it's good enough for servers, but it's not good enough for the corporate desktop. Then you roll forward another couple of years, corporations are involved rolling it out on the corporate desktop, but it's not good enough for the home desktop. Well, that's the next frontier, and it will come because of this continuous improvement.
Well, how much, maybe Gareth, you can talk about this, how much do you think that we're going to see that at the Southern California Linux Expo, the 12th and 13th?
How much of, the desktop applications?
Any of these innovations that people aren't aware of?
I think we're going to see quite a bit. Most of our attendees, most of our exhibitors are, I wouldn't really call them hardcore Linux because that sounds kind of scary, but they are the people that use Linux on their desktops day to day. We have two of our exhibitors are both people from the KDE group and GNOME group. So those are two of the big players in the desktop, Linux on the desktop arena.
You just make one comment. We didn't make it very clear. The expo is a little bit of an odd creature. It is not completely commercial.
Right.
We let nonprofit organizations have a booth if they can educate on something. So we have a great mix of grassroots and commercial on the desktop.
That really is an important point. When I was there 2 years ago, a lot of the fun comes from just going and talking to the guys. And I mean, it's like the old conventions from 10 years ago, much more low-key, not, and this is not a derogatory term, it's not as polished as, when we head over to E3 or something like that.
But you notice the energy level.
Oh, absolutely. And it's the hands-on one-to-one, the knowledge exchange is a much higher ratio.
That's actually one of the reasons that got us starting Scale, the SoCal Linux Expo, is we'd heard from people that had gone to Linux World and the various, the bigger shows where it is more polished, where it's more commercial. And we wanted to make sure that our show lets people speak one-on-one with the actual people that are in at the ground level doing all the work, speak to the developers, all that kind of stuff, to kind of keep it away from being overly commercialized.
And again, we're talking about the Southern California Linux Expo, which is going to be at the Los Angeles Convention Center, February 12th and 13th. And we're speaking with Orv Beach and Gareth Greenaway, and you're listening to Digital Village here on KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles.
My name is Doran Behrens.
My name is Rick Allen.
And 98.7.
In beautiful Santa Barbara. So I have visions.
I don't want to get kicked out of there next time I'm up there. So I have to make sure we let them know that we do appreciate them.
I have visions of the Radisson Hotel facing the beach.
Now, if we could, a little about the developments in the applications, because, again, people will ask me, you know, what computer should I buy? And everyone who's been around computers, when they're asked that question, they know that the answer really depends on, well, what do you want to do with it? And that's where a lot of times the problem, the perceived problem with Linux has been in the past. We've alluded to this with the desktops and stuff like that. One of the great stars, pun intended, is OpenOffice, formerly StarOffice. Well, that's what the genesis of the idea. And this OpenOffice, which has now been developed as an alternative to the Microsoft Office suite, that's one that really has won over a lot of people. And I've known several businesses that are now working on that being their default business word processing application. I'm wondering, what are some other apps that have made inroads into what were traditionally proprietary, applications, if you will?
The big thing about open source is the fact that a lot of these applications originally developed on Linux, but then they're ported over to other platforms, Windows being the biggest one, and you mentioned OpenOffice, which is moving from good to insanely great, mm-hmm. very steadily. Mm-hmm. The other big one is Firefox, the browser, which is kind of like son of Mozilla, which is father of Netscape kind mm-hmm. of thing.
If I could, real quick, because Firefox is a great example of open source development and how it produces a better product, where you had Netscape, which itself had evolved from Mosaic, but Netscape had become a proprietary browser bought by AOL. Pretty much bloatware to the point where when we got to, version 6 of Netscape, it had pretty much died on the vine, being replaced by the de facto standard, which was Internet Explorer. At that point, Netscape famously released their source code to be open for development, which produced Mozilla, which is the open version of the browser, a good browser. However, even that was too bloated for some people. And Wired Magazine has a great article in the latest about the development of Firefox, where this kid who had been working on Mozilla since he was 14 decided he was fed up with the bloatware that was in the new Mozilla and decided to fork off and develop Firefox.
You might want to mention what forking off means.
Oh, developing a parallel version of the product that has different features, but it's based upon the same. Thank you.
Without all the fat.
That's what his notion was with this new thing that ended up being called Firefox. And now Firefox was released at the beginning of this year, or was it a couple? It's been out for a little bit now, version 1, and it's now what, up to 5% of the browser market.
At least.
Just after a couple of months, and it's a terrific browser. It's currently my favorite.
Just a couple more things about Firefox. Not only is it a great browser, because it's an open architecture, people are writing what they call extensions for it. One of my favorite is one called AdBlock. If you've ever been to a website where they've got those really annoying GIF ads, you right-click it and tell Firefox to ignore it, and you'll never see that ad on that page again.
Right.
The other interesting thing, about open source and Firefox is a good example is if you look to see at all the different computer platforms right now, there's a very good chance that Firefox is running on there. I mean, you have Firefox for Windows, you have it for Linux, obviously, you have it for OS X. I think there's actually an OS 9 version, but there's it's available across many, many platforms, and that's one of the benefits of having open source software.
And while we're on the topic of browsers and safe surfing, if any of your listeners out there are still on Internet Explorer, please get off of it. There have been way too many widely published and widely known security holes in it. You don't necessarily have to go to Firefox, get Opera or Mozilla, just don't use Internet Explorer.
Yeah, we skipped over this week's edition of what bugs were found in Internet
Explorer. Of our Borg bashing segment, right?
You bring up a really good point that I want to let our listeners or remind our listeners about, and that even if for whatever reason you're still married to Windows or some other operating system.
Time for a divorce.
Well, but even so, I mean, like at work or something like that, you might have to use Windows. There are an increasing number of open source ports available that will run on Windows. So if we're talking about Firefox, Audacity is another wonderful audio editing product that I've used, is available on Windows, so you don't have to go out and buy an expensive audio editor. You can use Audacity. Any number of other applications which are available that will run on not just Linux. Of course, Linux has all the other benefits going for it, but just because you're running Windows doesn't mean that you are completely deprived of the open source tools.
And one of the advantages of moving over to the open source applications is when you've moved just about all your major uses of a computer over to open source, then you can take the big leap, although it'll be a smaller leap at that time, and slide a new operating system in underneath the applications. And all of your files are compatible.
For people who want to try it out, one thing I found is really fun, you have to be a little bit technically savvy, but not too much, is Nopix, or the various distributions that will fit on a CD.
The live CDs.
Yeah, and you can actually install and boot from a CD, and that's a complete Linux distribution, so that you don't even need to reformat your hard drive or anything like that. You just reboot your computer with a CD in your drive, and it'll boot up to a Linux distribution with a browser and a graphic interface. And, depending on what you get, it'll have a number of things that are available that you can use. Those are particularly well geared towards folks who just want to get a taste of what's available.
It's a brilliant idea, too.
Yeah. Nopix with a K, K-N-O-P-P-I-X. And there's a couple of others as well.
There's many. Because it's open source, people can roll their own Linux distribution on a live CD. One of the more infamous ones is one called Damn Small Linux, which comes on a business card CD.
You can put it
in your wallet.
Yeah, carry it around with you. I love those. We got about, 5 minutes or so left, and I'm wondering what are some of the interesting developments that are catching your attention? What are you saying? Wow, I'm really glad they're doing that now.
I guess one of the big ones, I mean, it's not specifically related to Linux. Well, I mean, it is sort of, but it's one of, which is actually related to where I'm working now, is a Linux-based phone system that I've been playing around with a couple months. And it's actually an interesting side story. We're using internet-based phones, and one of them actually, when we got it in and it started up, it was actually like surprisingly running Linux. So it was kind of a treat.
Yeah, that happens more and more now.
Yeah, it's amazing like how many devices out there are running Linux that you wouldn't even think of.
Yeah, and it's an appropriate choice too for a number of reasons.
Yeah,
I was just going to say when he said an internet or a Linux-based telephone switch, that's a voice over IP switch.
Right.
It can talk telephones one way and IP the other. And asterisk.
Yeah.
There are that is probably the biggest area right now. I've been hearing so much about that over the last couple of weeks, in particular, what with Michael Powell leaving and all that, but. The voice over IP, I think, is really going to be the app that explodes over the next year or two with Vonage and others and all the phone companies.
It's all about bandwidth, right?
It's all about bandwidth, but even more important, think about your telephone. How often does your telephone crash? What, once a year, maybe? You absolutely have to have that kind of reliability in your phone system. People expect it. I have seen telephone PBXs running Windows NT briefly. But everybody who's serious about a stable switch will base it on Linux.
Yeah, because now they're talking about viruses, going from your phone to your car, computer systems, I can see the Ford Probe, running on Linux in a couple of years.
It just might, Worst things can happen, certainly. We've got about 3 minutes left. I just want to get back to the expo, which is happening. Once again, remind our listeners where it is happening.
And when?
It's at the LA Convention Center. It's February 12th and 13th.
And you're going to have speakers there, keynotes or anything like that?
We have a number of speakers. One in particular, we have, I believe we have a speaker from the EFF, and we have, that's a good question. I haven't really been paying attention to the speakers too much.
There's actually two speaker tracks all day long and a newbie session for introductory.
I think we have three speakers.
Oh, three tracks. Okay.
Total. One is a beginner track, which is actually people from the local Linux community. They're going to be giving beginner tracks on really like just introductory things like how to use your desktop or if you recruited a number of them, so you might know more so than I.
I wanted to say just while we wrap it up here, you can show up today and register or log 35 or something like that. $62.50.
We have the plug discount tickets are $32.50, and the full price I think is up to $60.
If you go online and at socallinux.org or .com, and I'll give them a promo code. Okay, there is a promo code if you enter PCUG, PC Users Group, you get a 50% discount.
There you go. You've heard it here on Digital Village.
And we want
you to subscribe to the station. We'll ask you for that next week. Good. SoCalLinux.com?
SoCalLinuxExpo.com.
Okay, got it. Orv Beach and Gareth Greenaway, thank you very much for coming out and enlightening all of us and giving us a discount to the SoCal Linux Expo.
And if you guys want to stream live from there, you're welcome to come.
Beautiful. Oh,
thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, and until next year when we'll talk about it again. That is it for this week's edition of A Digital Village. Next week, we're going to be asking you for your support because you love us and you love the station and you know how important it is.
That's right.
And so until then,
we want to
have that quizzical look on your face.
Well, it's just too, this goes too fast. This is just the fastest hour on radio. What can I tell you? We want to thank Zuberry in Master Control, our brand new awesome
that's right. He's
engineer.
Doing a great job. Thank you. If you want to write us, my email address is doran@pacifist.net. doran@pacifist.net. I'll forward everything on to Rick.
And you can check out our website, www.digitalvillage.org, where you can actually hear audio archives of these shows.
I'll be working on the site tomorrow, so the audio should be up by tomorrow evening.
Great.
Until next week, thanks to everyone. Thanks for coming down. My name is Doran Behrens.
My name is Rick Allen, and we'll see you online.